Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack go.
3-6, got too many problems to fix.
Go Pack go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. Did not go Green Bay's way in Pittsburgh, falling to the Steelers on the road, now dropping to 3-6. Man, where do the Packers go from here? How is the coaching staff reacting? What's going on with the players in the locker room? We're going to touch on it all. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get into the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichstead. I'm your host and Packers fans. The Steelers pulled out the tight victory, knocking off Green Bay in Pittsburgh, 23-19. Green Bay falling to 3-6 on the season. So I'm joined today by KJ, and we're going to be talking game recap, analysis, season overview, as well as around the NFL, what we're seeing around the league. So thank you for tuning in. We appreciate every one of you from over 100 plus countries checking in with us every week. You are the best. We see you writing in with us on X. Everyone is having a great time, so we're gonna have a great time here as well. KJ, welcome to the show. How you doing,
Packers fans? It is great to be with you as always. It's a very, very, very nice Wisconsin fall day. It's a little warmer than anyone would expect, so I think that's got a lot of us in a better mood. Pack took an L yesterday. Did they look better in a lot of areas? I would say yes, right? We always got to keep it objective, always got to keep it real with you. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. You know, we have to give credit where credit's due, and there were certain elements of the offense that did look a lot better yesterday. Obviously, the defense had some bright spots as well, but it does no one any good to sugarcoat basically just the faults that the Packers are glaring. And once again, the Packers dropped a game that they should have won. And the reason I say that is, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, you should have just expected it, right? Because going into the season, we knew we weren't winning the Super Bowl. But it's one thing to have, you know, Super Bowl aspirations. It's another one to have standards of being one of the most winning franchises of all time, like the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday's loss was the difference between going 4-5 and 3-6. So that was the difference between being one game claw back to 500 or three game claw back to 500. Schedule gets a lot tougher. And within that difference is Anders Carlson unable to, you know, really convert an extra point. Some may argue that Josiah DeGuara should go snip, snip after that. He basically let the guy run right past him. The guy's worthless. You know, he's pretty much like a waste of space at this point. I know he was drafted with Jordan Love, but he can't play tight end. He can't play special teams. Why is he there? Why is he there making hundreds of thousands of dollars, Packers fans? To me, that just seems like an irresponsible use of money. It's certainly not helping Anders Carlson's case. It's certainly not helping the Packers' win-loss record. You know, there's several things, right? Like the Packers, I mean, Aaron Jones wasn't able to get going. You know, Matt LaFleur, like, he kind of threw Jones under the bus at the end of the game, which Aaron Jones' brother took a lot of offense to. You know, where's Matt LaFleur kind of like holding people accountable when it comes to himself or his team? And, you know, like, there's so much inconsistency there. Long story short is the coaching wasn't good enough in a couple key areas where we took another L, and now we have a huge hole to climb out of. And that means something. So that's what I think we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about everything. I'm excited for another great show. It's going to be great no matter what, Packers fans. Thank you for joining us, Alex. Thank you for having me. Let's get into it.
Yep. I just want to start off with the coaching. Before we get into the players, we're going to dive into some of those stats. Let's talk about the coaching here, Cage, because what I see just this entire season and just with the staff in general is they have the inability to put together a complete three-tier game. This week, it was the special teams. You can't convert your extra points, and you kick it out of bounds on the kickoff. I mean, which practically gifted Pittsburgh more points. I mean, these are simple things that, you know, good football teams don't do, and the Packers just continually do that, Cage. I mean, when I looked at kind of where Green Bay is, is like we started the year with a strong secondary. Now we got Straw out there. We got guys that we're used to seeing that are like fourth or fifth stringers, sixth or seventh round picks. I mean, what is this product on the field? You mentioned Josiah DeGuara. This guy is a bum. He's been a bum. And the only reason he's not been a gone is because Goot is trying to save face, bro. This guy's picks are absolutely dreadful. Packers fans, we just got to call it the way it is. I'm watching the Pittsburgh Steelers O-line mow down our D-line, and we've just
opened up truck holes.
You know, so many first-round picks. I mean, Lucas Van Ness got thrown by Najee Harris. I like the guy. Like, I'm not – but, like, at the end of the day, Cage, he's a 13th overall pick. This man can't be feeble out there. Like, why is our defense and why is our corners looking so feeble?
You know, man, that's a good question. And Alex brings up a great point, Pakistans. Remember the years in the Aaron Rodgers era when we had no secondary to speak of, right? Like, Packers had random bodies out there, like Quentin Rollins trying to cover guys like Julio Jones. That was one of the most frustrating things ever to witness because our defense was just Swiss cheese. Well, then the Packers actually addressed it. They drafted Kevin King. They drafted Jerry Alexander. They drafted some other guys. They picked up Rasul Douglas. You know, they found Keyshawn Nixon. And that secondary went from being a position of weakness to a position of strength, something that we just kind of like had. We got the luxury of being able to stop worrying about the secondary. Do you know how rare that is? You know how like of a high level thing that is of a luxury to just not be able to worry about your secondary in the pass happy NFL era that we are living in? And now it's like the Packers got used to it and just assumed that it was always going to be that way. And now it's like we traded away our strengths there. Our secondary, like you said, Alex, then Jair gets hurt. Next thing you know, we got a bunch of sixth and seventh rounders out there who they did fight valiantly. But it's like you go from having a position of strength to taking it back to a position of weakness. I don't know, man. It's an overall strategic gaffe there. The defense in basically Joe Barry's defense has been better than the offense. And we'll get into Jordan Love in a sec. But going back to coaching, man, Christian Watson, right? Talk about regression city. Talk about, like, take a step back in every way possible, both mentally and physically. Talk about being 6'5", but only playing like you're 5'10". Talk about every excuse in the book being made for this guy. It's crazy. This all falls under
drip and letting your game slip.
Wearing drip and letting your game slip. You know, like, that's red flag number one, man. You just don't do it. And it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, if you look at Christian Watson's comments after the game, he's basically like, yeah, well, you know, there's 11 guys on the team, so I know I got to play better. But, like, it's like, Holmes, you are one of the worst players out there. Like, frankly,
you are the worst player out there besides DeGuara.
Yeah, like DeGuara or Christian Watson. It's a toss up right now. And it's so frustrating because DeGuara, no one really expects the physical or any production from him. But Christian Watson, bro, we've seen it from you. And we see it like in your North Dakota State tape. We see it in your Packers tape. But like, bro, you're kind of like, he's just not being realistic right now. It's like, bro, look at the man in the mirror. You're sucking. You're sucking. Your family needs to do it, too. Like, he needs to worry about his career at this point if things keep going this downward slanting. Like, it's not like this is just a subtle drop off from Christian Watson. This is like a where'd the guy go? He's missing. Has anybody seen him? And, man, like, who's responsible for that? You'd like Matt LaFleur to help develop. You'd like to have Matt LaFleur develop your 33rd overall pick on offense, right? But no one's really talking about that. You know, the Packers are just a train wreck. It's all a reflection of Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy. We said it last week. The Packers need to drain the swamp. We need to drain the swamp. And I don't know, man.
Here's what happens, KJ. Packers fans, we can get excited about the rookies. I saw great plays from Jaden Reed. I saw great plays from Luke Musgrave. I saw good plays from Dontavian Wicks this week. And why is it that every year the second-year guys are just falling off? That's because that's when coaching's involved. I mean, Eric Stokes, where the hell did he go? He's done. You know, you got Romeo Doubs, who, to me, you know, he's just who he is. He's not very fast. There's a couple highlights where they went back to the replay, and the guy just doesn't have the burners. He's just not that type tier of a receiver. He's a good possession receiver, that touchdown in the corner, a good red zone target for the Packers. He can make a play. But you can't be betting the odds that Romeo Doubs is going to be your one or two. I mean, you need speed. You need guys getting open, Cage. He could be a solid 3-4, but are we going to see regression next year from some of these rookies? Because on defense,
probably.
Right? I mean,
if the staff is
Quay Walker's there. Been gone. Where is this Devontae Wyatt coming out party that we're supposed to be seeing? The only guy who's like seriously getting sacks out there is Preston Smith, and he should be like the last guy getting sacks on this team. I mean, he gets the most, you know, scuff cage almost on the defense, and he actually gets some sacks.
Like, yeah, Preston Kenny is Clark, not the problem lately.
Rashawn, at the end of the day,
Kenny
you guys
Clark,
aren't earning ghost. Your dough.
Ghost. Rashawn Gary, ghost.
Rudy Ford,
Devontae Wyatt. Devontae Wyatt. Ghost. Kenny Clark. Did I mention him? Oh, yeah. Ghost. Twice for good measure. I mean, dude, what an overrated player, in my opinion. And I'm sorry, but, like, I want Kenny Clark to do well. He is just a ghost out there. Look at our run.
Keanu Benton. Look at Keanu Benton from Wisconsin on the other side, Packers fans. That man was wrecking the game more than Kenny Clark or Devontae Wyatt. And he wasn't a first-round pick. He's got the body to stop the run game. He had six tackles. Well, it's a DT. I mean, we had T.J. Slayton who was doing work. But why is it, Cage, that miss after miss? I mean, Christian Watson is looking like a miss at this point. And this guy gets his head turned around. Well, I don't know if he can do it.
Packers fans, I think Alex made a fascinating point. I don't know if really anyone's talking about it, but there is a pattern emerging before our very eyes about guys just basically coming into to the LaFleur and Goot era and then dropping off year two. And a couple of recent examples were, you know, year one, Christian Watson, he comes right in from North Dakota State, kind of just did what he did, you know, maybe knew Matt LaFleur and them for a few months, but reverts to instinct. Now he's had like 18 months in their system and he's completely fallen off the rails. Like, you can barely play the guy. Eric Stokes, national championship player at Georgia, really talented, kind of slotted in from a high level, you know, week to week. Standard of what's expected from him at Georgia when they won the championship, and then had a really good rookie year for the Packers where it looked like he was going to be another stud in the secondary, and then now each year he gets removed from the Georgia coaches.
Ghost.
Each year he gets into the Packers, ghost. He's going ghost mode. Like, he's not on the field. He was even sitting courtside. It's like, bro, you can't be sitting courtside if you're not playing. I don't know. And then, you know, those are just two examples, but you hope it doesn't happen with like a guy like Lucas Van Ness, where he showed a bunch of promise come out of Iowa, but then the Packers get their hands on him, and like, you know, even Josh Myers, bro, you know,
there's
the advanced stats, and then there's just the eye test, right? Like, Josh Myers was nowhere near this bad when he was at Ohio State. He was nowhere near this bad.
No,
and it's when the Packers get their hands on these guys, there are so many indictments on this coaching staff. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know how you can still defend them. Nothing's going to get better, in my opinion, until you get better structure. Like, it's like your environment, right? Like, if I am in a terrible environment every day where I'm, you know, eating junk food, not exercising, you know, maybe not consuming constructive content, like, I might be not feeling the best. I might not feel like my best self. But if I'm, you know, exercising, putting the right foods and stuff in my body and consuming the right type of things, surrounding myself with the right type of people, like, it's a world of difference. And you see it with the Packers. I just wonder how much longer is it going to take before the fan base realizes it? I think a lot of the fan base right now is aware that Matt LaFleur is not the guy, but the ones that aren't, like, it's only a matter of time before you do realize it. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm very confident in saying, like, whether it's this year or next year, the Packers will be parting ways with Matt LaFleur. I would rather it be sooner than later.
Well, here's another reason why. I know we're getting into a lot of the coaching, but Packers fans, back to the game a little bit. Fourth quarter, Green Bay could not score. They could not score. The game was right there for the taking. And to make matters worse, that missed extra point was hanging a four spot above the Packers' head where, okay, you can't do a field goal. You need a touchdown. That's just bad execution. Like, his teams are never in these positions of strength. And Cage, I mean, Pittsburgh is not a strong team. This is what I think, Packers fans. I think they're a pretender from what I saw out there. They have a couple pieces on defense, you know, a solid defense. I don't see special in Najee Harris. I don't see special in Kenny Pickett. And they're a team that'll beat a bad team. That's what they do. Pittsburgh Steelers. They come in and, you know, they're not really that talented. They have 156 points on offense.
They will beat a bad team. Yeah, you're right.
They'll beat a bad team and they'll beat the Packers.
So Tomlin does best.
Are sitting right down there next to Chicago cage. And we've had our quarterback the whole time. So we just got to go there next because I know Packers fans want to hear our thoughts on Jordan Love. Jordan Love, you put out his stats. Has he exceeded or underperformed your expectations?
Read them off, Al. Packers fans, get a hold of this.
Okay, he's got a 46.1 QBR that ranks 22nd in the NFL. He has an 80.5 QBR rating that's 30th in the NFL. He's got 19 sacks taken. That's 17th in the NFL.
Big plus on Rodgers there. You know, like of all the tough things about, you know, the Packers QB transition, like at least Jordan Love has been doing pretty well in terms of avoiding sacks. Zach Wilson, by contrast, has like 40-some sacks taken. So I just want to give a plus to Jordan Love for basically just his pocket mobility helping us. You know, that does help us. It's not translating to wins, but that is a small positive, a small win we want to acknowledge. Keep going.
He's
out.
Got 14 passing touchdowns. That's 15th in the NFL, but 10 interceptions that lead the NFL. His passing
completion
percentage is 58.7. That's 36th in the NFL. And his yards per game cage, 223. That's coming at 19th. And his yards per pass is coming in at 26, 6.7 yards per pass. I mean, when I look at the stats, bottom line, the dude has been broke himself, but he, I see improvement. That's what
yeah.
The fan pack.
Well, he's not the problem.
It's not as bad as the stats are because I don't know if this guy, if there's a single receiving core that's as, you know, dreadful as the Packers. Straight up.
Well, I mean, Alex has a great point. It's not as bad as the stats show. If you look at Jordan Love's stats, I don't want to admit it, but they tell a terrible story. Like, if you're a stats guy, if you're a stats gal, Jordan Love's stats ain't looking great. And when I say they ain't looking great, that's being very kind. They're looking like middle of the league at best or bottom of the league at worst, right? And that's across the board. We got them all on Ike Packers. Go check it out. However, I don't believe Jordan Love is a bust. I believe Jordan Love can put it together and become a franchise quarterback. You see all these positives. I just want to reiterate that to Packers fans. I'm still team Jordan Love. I'm team Love. It's been high and low. Ike Packers may keep it real. You know, we may have some choice words for certain people in the Packers organization or players who may not, you know, help the team much or self-inflicted wounds, hurt the team, you know, yada, yada, yada. But we do believe in Jordan Love over here at this point in time. He's not a bust, Alex, in Packers Nation. However, he is not a sure thing like you could almost anoint C.J. Stroud on the Texans as a rookie with a first-year head coach. That is where things get interesting, Packers fans. A franchise left in shambles. Second overall pick, C.J. Stroud, lighting up the NFL without truly any great talent around him, in my opinion. But it's showing it's possible, and we're kind of somewhere in between that. You know, we're in between like the Justin Fields bust city, which maybe he busts, maybe he doesn't. I would lean towards him not returning to Chicago just because they've won multiple games with another quarterback. I think that's a huge sign. But he's certainly not a C.J. Stroud. I think Jordan Love really, it's up to him, man. I think the Packers
are
going to give him.
Here's perspective, Packers fans.
Yeah, go for it.
Here's perspective. Okay. At the end of the day, there's only a few teams that are worse than Green Bay right now. That's the Bears, the Cardinals, the Giants, the Panthers, the Patriots. Yeah, that's it.
Let's read those again. The Bears, right? They're worse, but they're trending up. I would argue they're trending up.
And they have
up.
Arguably the number one overall pick coming in. They have two top ten picks,
right? Yeah, exactly.
They're loaded,
so Bears are trending up. You know, it's going to make Packers fans look foolish if you talk trash to the Bears this coming offseason, unless we right the ship and kind of have a
Patriots,
different.
Patriots 2-8. They're going for a quarterback. Mac Jones, not the guy.
Most Super Bowls ever, right? Like, I wasn't expecting them to have a ton of success after the Brady era. We'll see what happens there. Then you got who, Al? Cardinals?
The Giants. Giants are looking for a new QB as well. I think they're done with Daniels.
I mean, are they? They just signed him to like a $200 million deal. I don't like it, but they're probably trending sideways. Cardinals. I think they're probably trending sideways. Patriots are probably trending down.
Panthers 1-8. I mean,
Panthers probably trending upwards, in my opinion.
But no picks. So I mean, they traded all their picks. What is?
I think if you have like, if you look at all those teams, like the Packers are trending down, in my opinion, and the Patriots are trending down. Are there any other teams you think are trending down in that like bottom feed of the league right now?
Titans 3-6.
Titans trending down. However, maybe they are. You know, I was going to say they do have Will Levis. He's looking sharp, but down. You're probably right. Down or sideways. So it's like really the Packers. Like yeah, the Bears are a worse record than us, but they're trending up. Brighter days ahead. You know, Montez Sweat. He came in. I know a lot of Packers fans are trying to clown that move. Where's Rashawn Gary? He signed a huge deal. Where has he been?
Why? Why? I mean, Packers fans, when I was watching T.J. Watt on the other side, and I know I have bias. I went to Wisconsin. But T.J. Watt is wrecking, and he's looking for strip sacking. And, like, this guy, Cage, he's the type of guy who you're going to have a good defense. I'm not really convinced Rashawn Gary is that type of player that you're going to, like, he's the Packers' default most expensive player. I think that's going to be, he's our number one on D, right? And so you have to really ask yourself, if TJ Watt isn't really enough to, like, get over the edge, like, why are we paying these guys? You know, during the game, the announcer made a comment, and this is just someone who's not that deep in the Packers, that Zach Tom was Green Bay's best offensive lineman. Yet we're paying Bakhtiari and Elton Jenkins. I like Elton Jenkins. But still, these re-signings, they make zero sense, KJ. They're making zero sense just from like a business standpoint. We lock up guys who underperform constantly, and now we're stuck trending downwards. I think that's really what happens is, you know, this Rodgers thing, Cage. Here's the Texans' perspective. I just want to give one last take, Packers fans. The Texans have a first-year coach. They have a first-year rookie quarterback. We had 3 years to prepare for this handoff. Once you took Love, the handoff was coming. And this is the nightmare that we're getting year one. I mean, someone's got to tell LaFleur, bro, you prepared for this, and it's a train wreck. Like,
Didn't prepare to this.
I mean, why did they get the pass?
It's a good question, man. Probably because it's the Packers' way. You know, I think it's the only feasible explanation is – this is just how they've always done it. You ever seen that quote, Packers fans and listeners, where it's like, just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean it's the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've all heard that at some point or another, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And right now the Packers are doing it their way just because they've always done it their way. And there is some arrogance to that, as evidenced by our record. We look terrible. We got a terrible record.
You know, Vikings are 6-4, and they've got this Dobbs guy balling out there. You know, like the Saints are 5-5, and I don't even think Derek Carr is healthy. I mean, I don't know if he is, but it's like the Seahawks are 6-3. I mean, there's teams out there with formidable QBs that are just run way better than Green Bay. We're supposed to have a better defense, you know. I'm not liking the year two drop-offs that I'm seeing, but it was a fun game. I thought Green Bay should have won that game. They had every chance to win that game. So I chalked that up to Jordan Love. I think, Cage, he still shows strong potential. He's like he made some really nice throws. He's got all the game, but, I mean, there's no favors out there, so he's included in this. You know, it's a downward sinking ship right now.
So, Packers fans, there would be no use of saying fire LaFleur, fire LaFleur, fire LaFleur if you didn't present any alternatives, right? So it's one thing to, you know, do something, but it's another thing to have a plan for what happens after, right? And basically, I have an offensive-minded alternative, and I have a defensive-minded alternative, and these are both going to sound like, I think, wild cards, but as the year goes on, I think they're going to be more and more less crazy sounding and maybe a little bit more dark horse, but I have no doubt both of them. I'll start off by prefacing, both of them have coached in a Super Bowl. One of them has won a Super Bowl, and they're both culture changers. And the two names I have are Sean McVay and Jim Harbaugh. You got one offensive-minded elite coach. You bring him in. You know, the Rams are going nowhere. They're going to hit a rebuild. I don't think McVay wants to be around there. Would he jump ship? No, unless it's for the most storied coaching position in sports, which is the Green Bay Packers head coach. Some could argue it might be something else, but it's certainly up there. You'd probably want to make him the highest paid guy, similar to what Craig Counsell just did in baseball. But I think you could convince Sean McVay, hey, you come be the next Vince Lombardi, whether we're drafting a QB at the top of the first and you can choose him, or whether you're working with Jordan Love and unlocking his full potential. Either one of those, I think, would get the Packers back into Super Bowl contention within the next 3 years. Jim Harbaugh, is probably a little more realistic, right? He's almost certainly not going to be at Michigan next year. We'll see how that plays out. I don't necessarily agree with, you know, everything that's going on all sides there, but it's a lot of bureaucracy right now. I think a lot of us, unless you're a Michigan fan, are just going to see where the dust settles. I don't think he's going to be coaching at Michigan. This guy came into the 49ers when they were just perennially bad, and he turned the culture around. He turned the culture around.
Did the same thing at Michigan.
Did the same thing at Michigan. Took the 49ers to a Super Bowl. It didn't work out, unfortunately. Some might say that there was a questionable call against his brother, John Harbaugh, in that game versus the Ravens. Phenomenal game. You know, Ray Lewis.
Somebody said there was a stadium blackout at a perfectly timed moment.
There was a stadium blackout. You know, there's certainly not just run-of-the-mill Super Bowl. But Jim Harbaugh, like, he's been to a Super Bowl. And he's been to back-to-back college football playoffs. And he's beaten Ohio State in back-to-back years. And he's changed a culture in two losing programs. I wouldn't mind that in Green Bay. Sean McVay, like, hey, shoot for the stars. You know, like, let's demand a little bit more than the completely underwhelming performance we've seen from Matt LaFleur. Please.
D'Amico Ryan is showing. Also, shout out to Las Vegas, right? Antonio Pierce. He was a linebacker for the Giants, if you remember him.
He was there when Plexico Burris shot himself in the leg.
Yeah,
he was the homie who, talk about being a real one, you know?
Plexico. Hey, bro, I really need help. I really need help, but you just can't tell anybody. It's like, oh, man, wait, what do you need help? It's like, Plexico had the you know what in his waistband. It went off in the club, hit him in the leg, and Antonio
Pierce has no regrets helping.
Antonio Pierce and one of the other guys, I forgot who the other guy was. Antonio Pierce is one of the guy who helped Plexico check into the hospital under the fake pseudonym Harris Smith. And we all know what happened there. Like, Plexico was like the best receiver in football on the Giants. You know, he made those crazy Super Bowl catches versus the Patriots. He was definitely an epic player. His career was never the same, you know. But Antonio Pierce was that guy. He was the winner on the Giants as well. And he was enough of a bro where he helped navigate that situation potentially to his own detriment. And now he is leading men all these years later to nobody's surprise, because this is how he's always been, man. He's always been a leader. Look at the leaders in the pack. Where are they? So we asked the question yesterday, who are the leaders in the Packers? They are not obvious. Well, there are some, I would like to see them stand up and show us.
Before we get off topic, let's just go back to this Antonio Pierce thing. He's now the head coach of the Raiders, right? And so this is what I'm saying. Packers fans have this belief that there's no other coach out there. Some of these guys are holding on to the fact that, who are you going to hire? Who are you going to hire? I mean, you can hire anybody. I mean, look at Antonio Pierce.
Addition by subtraction.
Right? You need almost someone that the boys in the locker room respect, like a Davante Adams. He goes in there and he respects Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce was in the nightclub after Plexico Burris, you know, accidentally shot himself in the leg. And Pierce said, I'm not sorry for how I acted that night. I'm not sorry for how I responded. And, you know, Antonio Pierce, like,
brother,
you said,
for life, man. If that was you in that
actually
situation.
Was in a court, you know, there were some rumors that maybe the court were going to charge him as well, because Plexico faced 3.5 years of prison after that, potentially. But it was just a weapons charge. And essentially, you know, Cage, he got off, right? Because I think he did the
point
right
of the
thing,
story. Antonio yeah, Prius, moral of the story. Right?
But moral of the story is, that's inspiring to these football guys, you know, like, straight up. And you look at what D'Amico Ryans is doing after his career in the NFL. they come in and they run things differently. Matt LaFleur, what are we expecting this guy to come in and run things like? It's going to be soft, Packers fans. That's just the reality. I'm seeing a team that couldn't close that game. I want to give a couple shout-outs to a couple guys. Okay, let's hit some good pack, bad pack here. Good pack, A.J. Dillon had a 40-yard run. That was like the Packers' first long run by a running back, I know you had mentioned. So,
oh, my gosh. Was it really the first one of the year? It looked so foreign. I was like, there's no way he's breaking this to the end zone, but go away. Go, Godzilla, go. And sure enough, he was brought down 40 yards down the field. But, hey, we'll take it. Shout to Quadzilla for some good pack this week. Damn, bro, my good Jaden pack. Reed.
Yeah, who do you got?
I'm scraping. I'm going to say Jordan Love's some of his deep passes that he connected on. And they were beautiful throws. They were beautiful. Like, some might have called them, you know, too much air underneath them. It was.
I got to push back on that. I mean, bro, his deep ball
it's like not. It's not
so
great.
Bad.
Yeah, it's not rough. Great.
His power,
but at least he was
off.
Able to connect on. That was good for his confidence. So I'm going to say that's a good pack. Like,
that was
we
a good
need,
building thing.
Because the thing about, you look at CJ Stroud, the guy's throwing for 400 yards a game. Jordan Love's scraping for 200. So for us to finally, like, connect on some big gains, we need that. We just need to start taking shots, whether it works or not. Some good pack. Alex, what's your bad pack?
I've got one more good pack, and that is Keyshawn Nixon. I see him leading the team now that Rasul Douglas
is
gone.
Right.
I mean, he's a visible leader out there, showing tons of effort, tons of heart, making plays, tackles. I mean, the guy is the type of player you hold on to. And so I hope they don't trade this man or do anything with Keyshawn now or let him go. We'll see what happens with him, but I'm appreciating him. Bad pack. I mean, for me, it's so obvious. It's Christian Watson. Like, he is the bad pack for me this week, Packers fans. Like, I was a believer. I'm not so sure anymore. And that's kind of where I've been turned, right? I was a for sure believer. We were talking. We predicted him to come to Green Bay on this podcast because the fit, the athleticism, a lot of the things that we saw coming out of college. And I want to say what I saw
what
after
the heck
year
happened?
One was just star ego athlete syndrome to the maximum. I mean, whether you want to call it is, I mean, the man was wearing chains. I made a comment to KJ. I was going to post it one day. I never did. I told this story on the podcast. I mean, the drip got out of hand.
The
drip got out of hand. The behavior got out of hand. He's off on the timing. And more than anything, he's just not there mentally because the effort is just lacking. Yeah. It's just lacking. So I don't know what it is, but dude has to figure it out. He needs to go back to the basics. And KJ, I don't know what it is. It might be the turning point, Packers fans. We'll have to see. Can he respond on a deep
ball? Where does Christian Watson rank in the wide receiver depth chart right now? Because I think he's number four.
He's four, for sure.
You got probably Jaden Reed number one, to be honest. He's probably your best receiver. Then you got maybe Dobbs, and then you got Wicks, and then
It's poverty, my man.
And it's poverty. It's like, I'm scraping, Packers fans. I'm scraping.
Jaden Reed is our best receiver.
I mean,
like,
maybe.
I like Jaden Reed.
Who is it? Like,
I mean, that's pathetic, though, bro. That's pathetic. Let's call this. This is a guy from Michigan State. We're in the Big Ten. We never heard about him.
You never heard of the guy.
You never heard about him.
However, he's not bad. We want to hold.
He's not.
Like, he's the least of.
I'm not here to bash Jaden Reed, but all I'm saying is, like, we are really scraping at this point.
We're scraping. Bad pack for me, bro. Just all the dead weight on this team. David Bakhtiari, dead weight. Elton Jenkins, is he dead weight or not? That's a good question. Christian Watson, is he dead weight or not? That's a good question. Aaron Jones and his $20 million and his brother feuding with the current regime. That's not going to end well for one of the two parties. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, is Matt LaFleur, the coaching staff, the dead weight? Is Aaron Jones a dead weight? You got guys like Josiah DeGuara, dead weight. You've got guys like not playing now that they got paid, dead weight. There's just so, it's almost like there's two teams of Packers. It's like Packers on paper and then Packers that actually might play. And we just got to figure out, like, who's in it to win it and who's just dead weight. That's my bad pack. Alex, any final thoughts, my man?
Final thoughts today are, Packers fans, I think, you know, what I expected from Green Bay this season was just a better transition. I don't know how to sum it up. I like the effort that they put in Steelers at, like, a majority thing. But, I mean, this team is far away. I'm looking at this team. I'm scratching my head at a lot of the draft picks year after year. And I mean, we'll see how it plays off. We'll see how it plays out. I think there's going to have to be a little bit of a tearing down. But Chargers up next. That's a winnable game at home. Should be able to get the offense going. Like Katie said, can we get a bond to Watson?
Chargers at home. Like, gosh, I hope we win, man. But
I mean, after that, it's the Lions and then against the Chiefs at home. So we got to get this Chargers game, Packers fans, or else it's going to be like 3-9 and you're going to see a huge drop off. I mean, this team, it's one thing I see in the comments cage, you know, to be losing. It's another thing to just not really give that full effort. And I think that's what frustrates most Packers fans out there. Not saying everybody's doing that, but I mean, we're seeing scrapping in the sideline. This team is poorly coached. I'm on the get LaFleur out of here train. Let us know what you think, Packers fans. Write us in your take. It's been fun, Cage. Any final thoughts for the listeners yourself?
Packers fans, hey, am I going to be glued to the Packers game this coming Sunday? You bet I am. And we're looking forward to conversing with you on Twitter, on X, Ike Packers. Make sure to give us a follow there if you haven't yet. We follow back. And also, send this show to a friend. Text us to a friend. If you are hearing a bunch of Packers content today that is disconnected from reality, feel free to send them this show. You know, we try our best to kind of stay grounded and really just to keep it real, because that's what you deserve. So we appreciate all you Packers fans. Go Pack, go forever. This ain't over yet. It's a long way from it. Better days ahead. We'll be right with you every step of the way.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go Pack, go.
I'm not afraid to die. so you will know.